Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class. Welcome. I am so grateful to join with you today. And I'm Jennifer Hadley, in case you didn't know. And our topic today is spiritual success, having spiritual success in the world, in a career. And our theme in our Living A Course in Miracles classes this time was, it's time to rise and shine, taking spiritual action. And so we are inspired to take spiritual action, which really is to change our mind about the world and to set ourselves free through the changing of our mind. And it's something that I think about all the time, is how can I change my mind to have more flow of love happening in my life and in my heart. And for me, one of the number one tools I have to contribute to my spiritual success, which is the opening of my heart and the opening of my mind, the awakening of my awareness, is my prayer practice. So this is why I begin and end every class with a prayer. I truly know the power of prayer. I'm so glad that Jimmy was willing to do this class on prayer with us. And this Living A Course in Miracles series has been so fruitful and so rich. And I thank you for joining with us, because there's no question that your deep listening and the desire of your heart to know the truth that sets you free absolutely brings all the insight and the clarity right through us so that we can share it with you. And so that's the power of being the two or more who are gathered in the name and the nature of love. So let's take that breath of love and gratitude, and I like to place my hand on my heart and say yes. I like to say yes. Yes to love, yes to joy. Yes to peace, yes to divine insight, wisdom, and clarity. So grateful and so thankful to open our hearts and our minds to the power and the presence of love living through us and as us. We partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self for the purpose of remembering our true nature, and our true identity is already free, it's already whole, it's already prosperous and abundant. It's already creative and beautiful and wise. Everything that we desire is already been given to us as our spiritual inheritance and our birthright. So we are choosing to acknowledge it, to accept it, to allow it, to activate it here and now, being the two or more who are gathered in the name and the nature of love for this divine purpose. We are grateful and thankful to allow a flow of wisdom that is unprecedented. We are so willing to set ourselves free and to share the benefits with everyone because we are one with them. In gratitude, we allow the healing to happen. In gratitude, we let it be and know it is done, and so it is. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Woohoo! I feel the power. Yes, I do. And I'm grateful that we are the power. Together, we are the power. There's no question of that. And all right, I have so much to share on this topic of spiritual success and having a spiritual career. It's such a dear thing to my heart because I'll just tell you a little bit about my journey. So when I was in high school, I was feeling guilty because I was interested in having a career in the rock and roll industry, in the music business. And that was my heart's desire. That was my passion. And I was feeling guilty because I thought I should do something that would bring more benefit in the world. And I truly was feeling guilty. And I talked to one of my teachers who said, you know, Jennifer, the world needs music too. And that kind of let me off the hook. But as I look at it now, I see it's an indicator of really where my consciousness was headed, where my life was headed, to be a life of service. And that is my heart's desire. That is my joy. And I feel so grateful that I get to live as a minister, a teacher, and a sharer of what I love so much, and that is able to support my life, and I'm able to support so many other people. I cannot tell you how grateful I am that that is so. And so for a long time, I was interested in working in the music industry. I did actually work in the music industry, but I went to school for theater, and I got very interested in theater and then in film, and had some success in theater, television, and then I went to film school to write screenplays. And I found that to be very helpful to me because I learned a lot about myself writing screenplays about characters and people. And so there's a lot of introspection that went on in that writing process. But when I got out of film school, I couldn't seem to sell any of my scripts. And my guidance was to go study to be a minister, practitioner and minister in the Agape community where I was attending services, and then to go back to the writing. And so I decided to follow my guidance, even though I had just spent all this money getting a master's degree in screenwriting and writing from the USC Graduate Screenwriting Program. And I'd had all the success in school, won awards and all these things for my writing. But it was really clear to me that Spirit was sending me in this direction of service. And so I decided to follow that guidance. And while I was studying to be a practitioner and minister, I kept thinking, how am I ever going to earn a living like this? How is this ever going to happen? I don't know that much about marketing, and marketing seems to be really important. And I'm still having all kinds of inner turmoil, and I'm still getting really angry and upset and hurt. I'm still experiencing tremendous fear. I'm still self-medicating. I feel ashamed. I have relationship issues. I've got all this stuff going on. How could I ever possibly be successful as a minister? Lordy, lordy, how is that ever going to happen? And but the thing is, I didn't give up. I did not give up. I kept praying, and I was willing to keep deepening my spiritual practice and looking for the answer. Now, a lot of the time, I'll be honest with you, I was looking for the answer outside me, that if I could find some code, if I could find some teacher who had the answer, some particular spiritual practice, some mantra, some prayer that I could do that would somehow open the door and unlock things for me. Now, what I recall is that I really had this strong, strong feeling that there was some block, and I just couldn't figure out how to get around it or through it or dissolve it or resolve it. I just couldn't seem to figure that out. And so I was feeling like I was up against this kind of glass ceiling, a spiritual glass ceiling, and I just couldn't rise above it. I couldn't get through it. And I didn't seem to find anyone who could really tell me. And technology. And the thing for me was to that I seriously desired was to find this thing outside of me that would unlock the mystery that I seem to be up against. And I'm telling you this because I don't feel that way anymore. I do not feel that way anymore, and I'm grateful because it really felt not quite depressing. I'm not a depressive person, but it felt discouraging that I just kept bumping up against it over and over and over again. There's something about me that I just can't seem to see it. I can't seem to find it. I can't seem to hear it. No matter what books I'm reading, no matter what classes I'm taking, no matter what teacher I'm studying with, no matter what practices I have, I'm still bumping up against this sense of limitation. And I was experiencing limitation in every area of my life. There was not one area of my life where I felt truly satisfied and happy. Everything was a bit not good enough. And I was really just at a loss. And I felt that way for several years. I really did. And I felt, I felt discouraged because I was looking and looking and looking and not finding. And that's one of the things that A Course in Miracles tells us, is that if we're looking outside of ourselves, we're not going to find it. If we're looking outside of ourselves, we are looking in the wrong place. That the answer is within. Now, for me personally, the whole idea of looking within was something that I did a lot of. But looking within was also not very fun, because when I looked within, I often found ugliness or painful memories or a sense of dysfunction. And I didn't really want to look that closely at that. So I'd go in cycles where I would analyze it and then, didn't want to look at it. And so I was in this place of really approaching my spiritual practice and my spiritual studies from an intellectual point of view. And looking at everything from that intellectual point of view was not helping me, because the intellect is a tool of the ego. This is one of the things that A Course in Miracles helps us to understand, that the ego is the analyzer, right? The spirit already knows everything. It doesn't have to analyze everything because it already knows everything. And in fact, spirit is everything. So spirit knows itself. And we know ourselves when we're connected to the knower who knows, the Holy Spirit, the I Am presence. You could call it your guardian angel, your white fire being, whatever you'd like to call it, your higher self. I call it the higher Holy Spirit self. And that aspect of our awareness, our true self is really what it is, knows everything has every answer. So if we're looking outside ourselves, we're looking in the wrong place. And that was something that I realized. I began to really look within. I began to take it on faith that the answer was within me, not outside of me. And that made a huge difference. That was a turning for me. Another turning for me was I made a commitment to stop judging and to stop criticizing, to stop complaining, to stop taking offense, and to stop defending myself. I made a commitment to these practices, of which really all come under the heading of being loving and compassionate, being kind, being gentle, being faithful, faithful to spirit, faithful to love. And look, I'll be honest with you, I still have judgments that come up every single day, every day, every day, some days more, some days less. But the difference is now I'm aware that these judgments are not who I am. They are not helpful to me. And when they've come up for healing, so I can let them go and I just do not need them anymore. And so my mind is more and more free and more clear because I'm not entertaining all these false thoughts. And that's what judgments and opinions are. I'm going to take a sip of my spiritual espresso here. So that was a turning point for me as I decided to really live the teachings. And so that's why I talk about it as living A Course in Miracles. And I say, let's walk the talk, let's live the love, and not just paying lip service to it, but really living it from our heart and aspiring to be wholehearted. So this is the thing that I was talking about in the class the other day on transformation, that we set this goal and then everything in our life will align with it as long as we really mean that goal. Now, a lot of people have a goal to be peaceful, and but they don't live as though they have a goal to be peaceful because the goal is not something that they really hold in their heart. It's purely in their intellect, and there's difference. So remember, the intellect is a tool of the ego. And so the ego has us searching for information and secrets to unlock prosperity, abundance, healing, wholeness, freedom, joy, wisdom, clarity, creativity, beauty, truth, and all these beautiful spiritual qualities. But they're not unlocked with the intellect or through the intellect. It's really all about the heart. And so when we're studying, and trying to gather spiritual information, we have forgotten that spiritual information is not healing, nor could it ever be healing. Now, is it thrilling to read A Course in Miracles? It is. For me, reading A Course in Miracles is thrilling. There have been many times when I was reading that book and just burst into tears with so much gratitude, just wailing in gratitude, so grateful that I had these words from my teacher right here in my hand, and I could just spend as much time as I wished with them. And I love reading Joel Goldsmith. I love reading Ernest Holmes. I love reading the teachings of Master Saint Germain. I really love and treasure these beautiful teachings. And still, it's not until I live them in my heart that I experience the grace that they offer. And so all healing is at the level of the mind. This is one of the main components of A Course in Miracles teachings, is that we remember that the healing is at the level of the mind, and it really is the mind that's in the heart. So it's not the intellect. It's when we decide we'd rather be free, we'd rather know love, we'd rather be patient and kind and generous than be right. We'd rather extend love than argue with somebody. We don't need to be right anymore. That's one thing that I had such, oh my God, I had such a painful habit of needing to be right, because I was very, very controlling and manipulative. And so it brought me so much pain, because there's really nothing more disrespectful in a relationship than to be controlling and manipulative. And it's very easy to be controlling and manipulative with emotions and with words and with actions. It doesn't have to entail, it's not overt. It can be very passive aggressive. And so I, being a very smart person, I recognize that about myself. And there are people who are smarter and people who are not as smart, but that seems to be one of the talents I have. I'm not the greatest dancer. I'm not that good with making pottery and things like that, but I have smart intellect. And for a long time, it got in my way, because I was not using it for God, for good. I was using it to keep the ego feeling placated. And so I made this decision to work only for love. I made the decision to work only for love and to stop working for money. And at the time that I made that decision, everything I was doing, I was either paid on commission or paid by the hour. So if somebody didn't hire me, or if somebody didn't buy what I was selling, I didn't make any money. I wasn't on a salary. And I realized that I, in so many ways, was giving to get. So I was giving attention, energy, love, affection, kindness to people in order to get the sale, in order to earn the money. I'm going to work for you for so many hours and earn the money that way. And there's nothing wrong with that. But in my heart, I was not working for love. I was working for money. So I made the decision to stop working for money and to start working only for love, and to eliminate all the causes of fear in my life. So as I was talking about in that transformation class the other day, it was about setting the goal. Setting the goal. So I set those goals and I kept my attention on those goals. So I started watching my mind and my heart, where I was manipulating and where I was controlling and where I was giving to get, where I was working for money and not for love. And I began to really shift things. I really began to shift things, because I had such a habit of thinking that strings are always attached to everything and keeping score. That's how I was raised, keeping score. Strings are attached to everything. And I just thought, well, that's how you do this world. That's how it is. And I can keep score better than anybody. I can have more strings attached, and I can avoid everybody else's strings. I can become really good at this game. And for a long, long time, decades of my life, I really thought that this world was like a game. And you just have to figure out how the game works and do it better than everyone else, and then you win. Yeah, that's not how this world works. And so I reached a point in my life where I just wanted to literally kill myself. I was filled with self-hatred. I had no thought that I could be happy in this world, because the way I thought this world worked, I couldn't find the way to make myself happy in it. Because you can't make yourself happy that way. It's not possible. You have to give all that up. That I was so busy affirming all the giving to get and all those painful ways of operating in the world, the controlling, the manipulating, the judging, the complaining, the criticizing, the defending, the attacking. All of that is how you ruin your life. And I certainly, in a sense, ruined my life. Now, I can see a little bit better what everything is for. So A Course in Miracles, one of my favorite lessons, 25, is I don't know what anything is for. It is such a relief. Oh my God, to just move into that space of, I don't know what anything is for. Good Lord, I don't know what anything is for. Oh, praise God, I don't know what anything is for. And so I finally moved into the space of, okay, I don't know what anything is for. And I'll just mention that one of my all-time favorite stories is A Christmas Carol, the Charles Dickens story. And I love the old black and white movie with Alistair Sims. It's one of my all-time favorite movies ever, ever, ever. And I just love it. The acting is fantastic. And the story, of course, is so perfect and beautiful. And it's the story of Ebenezer Scrooge. And I can really relate to Scrooge, you know, because he thought he was doing everything right. And he thought he was a success in this world. He was definitely thinking he was very successful in this world because he was putting other people out of business and he was making money from it. He was eliminating the competition, making money, absorbing their clients, blah, blah, blah. And it didn't matter that he was sacrificing his happiness. He didn't care about that. He just wanted to have more. But there's never enough. More is never satisfied, ever. And so what I love in that story is on Christmas morning when he wakes up and he realizes he's not dead and he has another opportunity. It's a new day. And he wakes up and he realizes not only is it a new day and he can start all over again, he realizes it's Christmas morning. And he realizes that he can take advantage of Christmas morning and he can do good things for Bob Cratchit's family and do his best to make amends. And, oh, I'm going to start crying. I love the story so much. I relate to it so much. And what does he do? He dances around his bedroom and he says, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. And he's so happy that he doesn't know anything. Because when he went to bed that night, he was terrified and he thought he knew everything. But he woke up and he realized, I don't know anything. And so that's the beginning of his ego transformation and his alignment with spirit. The ego doesn't know anything. And there's a point that can come in our life where it'll come through either humility or humiliation, where you realize the ego does not know anything that is worth knowing. Not one thing that the ego knows is worth knowing. And everything that is valuable, that is worth knowing, spirit already knows. So it's, I don't know what anything is for, lesson 25. That is such a corner that we take in that, really, in the fourth week of doing the lessons, if you're doing one a day. And it's a turning point. It's moving into that new habit. It takes 28 days to create a new habit in thought. And so moving into that space of, okay, I've given everything in this world the meaning that it has for me, and I'm not upset ever for the reasons that I think I don't know anything. And then there's freedom. And then the joy can begin to return. Now, some of us get to that, I don't know anything, I don't know what anything is for, place through humiliation, right? A lot of us get there through humiliation. We have experiences that are deeply and profoundly humiliating. And what is humiliation? What is it when you really think about it? It's a slightly different thing from shame, okay? So shame, I'm going to take another sip here. Shame is when you have an opinion or a judgment that's not true, Right? Opinions and judgments are not true. They're just our interpretation, the meaning we made of things. You have an interpretation, a judgment that is really harsh. I'm not good enough. I'm stupid. I'm bad. I'm wrong. I'm ignorant. I'll never get ahead. You have these kinds of ideas in your mind. You will feel ashamed when you get triggered into affirming those beliefs. So, no one can shame you unless you agree with them. You cannot feel ashamed unless you believe these false thoughts. It's just not possible any other way. And humiliation is similar. So what it is when, but it's not exactly the same. So many times, someone who is living from their ego, but has in some way, shape, or form, a spiritual desire to rise above or to live in truth, or who is in some way making declarations of what their life is going to be, that they desire it to be, then but they're not living that way. And they're hiding things. Could be, I keep thinking of right this moment, John Bradshaw, the beautiful, beautiful teacher, John Bradshaw, who was studying, who was a priest, actually. And I believe he was already a priest. And but he was a secret alcoholic and really having a struggle with alcohol. And his humiliation came from really being a falling down drunk and face plants in the floor, down in the mud with his drinking challenge. And it was humiliating to him to be discovered, to be found out, because he was very attached to this idea that he was a priest. Perhaps more a better person than other people, above the fray, and all of this, and the people looked up to him, that he's special, right? And then come to find out, actually, he's got all these issues, and maybe he's not special, and maybe he's a loser, etc. He experiences the humiliation of having the curtain drawn back, like the Wizard of Oz. You know, we see this in on the political landscape right now, where in America we've got these political candidates who we see it all the time. Political candidates who say one thing and do another. We see religious figures who say one thing and do another, and then when they're found out, they are humiliated, right? And we see it all kinds of people who have. You know, they're speaking out against sexual things, and then you find out, well, they're doing the very things they were speaking out against. And so when we attack others, and when we need to be special and privileged, and those kinds of things, then our lesson is probably going to come to us in the form of humiliation. But it doesn't have to, it can come in the form of opening ourselves to humility. And that is so much easier and so much more beautiful. And it's something that we can actually choose. And I was grateful because I had many moments of humiliation along my journey. Trust me on that one. But I reached this place where I was willing to have humility. And in that willingness to have humility, I discovered what humility really was or is. And humility is when we realize it's not possible for there to be a better than or a less than, and that it's not possible for anyone to be better or less than me. No one is better than me, no one is less than me, because we're one with each other. There's no better than, there's no less than when all is one. We're not even equal to each other, because we're one with each other. This equal implies a sense of separation. So having true humility, desiring to have true humility, is a desire to know the unity and oneness of all life. And that became a real desire for me. I really became interested in transcending this world. On so many levels, my ego was couldn't find its way to be happy in this world. And so I hated this world. I really hated it. And I hated the density of it. I hated how difficult it was. On many spiritual levels, I knew that there's a much easier way. There's a better way, as we know from A Course in Miracles teachings. But I was having so much trouble finding it that I hated this world because I couldn't find my way in it. But when I made the decision to give up my judgments and opinions, to be in that place of Ebenezer Scrooge on Christmas morning, I don't know anything. I don't know what anything is for until my mind opens enough to see beyond all time and space. And then I know what every single blessed thing is for. Until that day, I am just going to take it as everything is for my good. Everything is for my learning, whether I like it or enjoy it or not. And I also made the pledge to myself that even if I don't like it, I'm going to like it. So what does that mean? You know, there are so many things in life that I could judge because my personality has been such a judger and a complainer and a criticizer. And I once had an intuitive say that I had been a judge in a past life and had been a priest and a nun and a cardinal and all these different things in past life, all these judgers, right? So many, many, many lifetimes of judging people professionally. And so that's such a strong thing in my personality. And now I can laugh at it. And now I've taken all that darkness and all the fear and desperation that I created for myself, and I have turned it into light. I've spun it into gold, the golden light of love in my heart. And I continue to work at that every day. And because it was so hard and so difficult and so painful for me, because I was so actively judgmental and complaining and shaming and blaming and criticizing and being offended at every turn all day long. Seriously, I was mean. I was a mean, mean person. And I'm not that way anymore. I have my moments, but really, I don't identify with that anymore. And when I have my moments, I can own them and apologize. And so I don't feel bad for them because I'm still learning. I'm still clearing out the past, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful because now I can share and teach about it in such a practical way that literally every single day people tell me, "I'm so grateful you came into my life, Jennifer, because you're keeping it real. You're not pretending that you don't have any problems, that you're so holy, or that you were born that way or anything like that. You are really just showing that this is a path that regular folk who are feeling troubled and depressed or suicidal can come on the path with you, and they can have a healing like you've had a healing and are continuing to have a healing. So this is why I feel so blessed and I love this work. But it all comes from my own willingness to disconnect from the blame, the shame, the regret, the resentment, and to have a living, loving spiritual practice first and foremost with myself. First and foremost with myself. So foundational to everything that we do in terms of being spiritual success and having a spiritual career is we must learn to love ourselves and not judge ourselves at all. And so one of the baseline things for me with that, the practices that really turned things around for me, really in a huge big way, was I realized that every time I made an error and was unkind or unloving, or judgmental or mean or whatever it was, every time I did that, every error I made, and even an error like, oh, I spilled the milk, you know, I broke the, I lost my earring, or whatever thing that I might judge myself for, or condemn myself for, everything, whatever kind or nature it was, if I did not judge myself for it, instead, I had compassion for myself for it, and I loved myself for it, then there's more love being expressed in the world than if I hadn't made the error. And therefore, my error actually makes the world a better place if I love myself as a byproduct of the error. And when I saw that, I just saw, oh my gosh, that is turning lead into gold. Turning every error into love. That's turning lead into gold. It's a divine alchemy. And so I began to feel the power of this divine alchemy taking over my life. And it became so exciting to practice it that I stopped feeling bothered when I made mistakes and errors. I started to go, oh, I can express more love. Yes. Oh, bonus. And so the habit of judging and criticizing and complaining about myself fell away. It just fell away because I got so lifted by the joy of loving myself whenever I made an error or a transgression or a trespass or a debt, right? Amazing. All right, I'm going to take another sip here. And I'm just going to tune in. So one of the things I'm getting to share with you is I have a lot of friends who are ministers and teachers, like attracts like, and I was in ministerial school practitioner training for 9 years, so I know a lot of ministers and teachers and practitioners. And I had a friend one time who was very excited about giving this sermon. And she was all excited about giving this sermon and had done this research on this topic and thought, oh, the congregation's just going to love this. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to share it. And then on Sunday, delivered the sermon with great enthusiasm, and it seemed like nobody in the congregation really cared. They were not as excited as she was. And so afterward, she called me up and said, I can't figure out what happened here. I just thought, gosh, they were going to love this topic, but they just didn't seem to respond at all. And so I just tuned in to my intuition, and then I asked her, well, what was your intention with the sermon? What was your intention before the service today? And she thought about it and she realized I didn't have one. And I said, all right, so there you go. So next time, make sure you have an intention. Sounds like that would really change everything. And, this speaks to what I was sharing about in the transformation class the other day, which is that we put the goal out there. The goal is to be a beneficial, loving presence. The goal is to inspire myself and others. The goal is to be the living representation of love. And then spirit will do the heavy lifting. The spirit will figure out the way. And I have learned that that is how I teach and share and do everything is with strong, strong intention. Now, back about 20 years ago, when I was in film school and working as a screenwriter in film school and writing screenplays, I set a strong intention that my life and my work, my very life and being and all my work would be inspirational to people, and that it would inspire them to take loving action in their lives. That was my prayer, that everything I offer in my life will be inspiration for other people to take loving action in their lives. And I still feel that way. And so my impetus now for everything is my own awakening, and then sharing what I'm learning with others who are interested in awakening too, so that it becomes a domino effect. And that's why I love being able to give things away for free, because people will share and share and share, and if they get inspired, then they'll begin to take loving action in their lives. And so taking loving action is to be prayerful and to meditate and to release the judgments and opinions and to energize the deep desire of your heart, to do the forgiveness work and to be compassionate and loving with others. That is spiritual action. And we do it from the heart, with the heart. It's not intellectual. It's not reading a book. It's not like that. It's really putting your heart into something. And because to be compassionate, to be loving, to be generous and kind, you're taking loving action. That's spiritual action. And that's what I'm interested in supporting people with. Now, I found myself in one of these turning points, like I said, where I realized I'm committing to releasing all the judgment, all the complaining, all these negative habits, for real, not just paying lip service to it, but really doing it. And of course, what happened to me? Well, things got really difficult for me in my life, and I had all kinds of challenges. Now, I was praying to get her done. As Larry the Cable Guy says, let's get her done. So I was praying to get her done and really to have a complete life transformation. I prayed every day to forgive everything in all directions of time and space. Everything, 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 which means everything that I'm holding against myself and everyone else, forgiving it in all directions of time and space. And so as God would have it, I had romantic challenges and friendship challenges and spiritual community challenges and work challenges and financial challenges. And my mother had health challenges and life-threatening health challenges. And so I became challenged on every level in my life except my own personal health. That was the only place where I didn't really have a challenge, thank God, because I needed a lot of energy and stamina. But every other area of my life was challenged, deeply challenged. And what I saw was just how habitual my complaints were. And I realized that I was complaining most of the time, judging most of the time. And so I decided to put the pedal to the metal and clear it all out. Now, I didn't know how to do that. I had no idea how to do that. I'd taken all these classes and I was in ministerial school, but I did not really know how to do it, because had I known how to do it before, I would have done it. But I prayed to know how to do it. And what happened was I began to get insight and clarity, actual tools and things to do to clear out all this negativity and all these false beliefs and habits and patterns. So I began to do the things that I was guided to do through my intuition, through that relationship with the higher Holy Spirit self, and the angels and the ascended masters, working with them every day. I began to do what they guided me to do, what my higher self guided me to do. So I began to listen and be guided day in and day out. It was not easy for me. And I didn't have a lot of other people who wanted to do it with me at the level of intensity that I was doing it. I didn't have a lot of other people to really talk about it with. I didn't really know a lot of people who I could talk about angels or ascended masters with. And at the time, I was not a Course in Miracles student at the beginning, but then I started studying A Course in Miracles. And so then I had a friend who knew in A Course in Miracles. And I read Gary Renard's beautiful book, Disappearance of the Universe, which was a great inspiration to me not to give up and to keep going. And I began to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But it wasn't easy for me. It was very difficult for me. It really, really was. And that's part of the why I am so dedicated to helping other people have an easier experience so they will keep going and they won't give up and they will rise higher than I rise, please God. And that is my goal, is to really support anyone who is interested in doing this work to rise and shine. Now, I had another friend who, so talented, such a beautiful heart, had done a lot of study, a lot of study, minister, practitioner training, all this study, and a lot of skill sets, coaching, a lot of skill sets, and yet did not have confidence to be successful. And we see this, don't we? We see this in the world. People with crazy amounts of talent in all kinds of fields, all kinds of professions, that they have tremendous talent, but they're not the ones who are the most successful sometimes. And why is that? And to me, it's a matter of faith. It is an absolute matter of faith that their faith is placed in the ego. And the ego, they think, is the one that's going to do it. But think of this, a beautiful spirit that's tremendously gifted and talented, that loves God, that's putting their faith in the ego, would like to be a spiritual teacher or healing presence in the world, but they're putting their faith in the ego, then what they're going to teach is what they live. They're going to be teaching what they live. So, a spiritual teacher, a coach, a counselor, a healer of any kind who's putting their faith in the ego is going to teach that. And that's not what's needed now. It's not what's needed now. I think a great example of that is that man who was in The Secret, who had the experience of, the arrogance of thinking that he knew how to do a sweat lodge and what those people in that sweat lodge, those precious people, that he knew what was best for them, but he did not know. He did not have humility. He had ego. And so he was teaching the law of cause and effect, which is what The Secret is. It's the law of cause and effect. And he was not doing it from the heart. The appearances that he was doing it from the intellect, from the ego. And so he had that experience of not listening to spirit and following the ego and then being responsible for creating a circumstance where people were injured and people died. And I don't think that there are accidents that happen in this world, not one bit. So I don't need to blame him or feel angry or upset about that. It's actually an incredibly beautiful teaching of about arrogance and humility. And so that's not success. Even though he was very wealthy, he made a lot of money from what he was doing, that's not spiritual success. Spiritual success is when people are inspired and uplifted to live a life of love and compassion and joy and freedom and wisdom and clarity and beauty and truth. That's spiritual success. And so that comes from changing our mind and living from our heart, right? All healing is at the level of the mind. So I've met in my life many, many beautiful, very, very talented spiritual teachers and counselors and therapists and coaches who struggle and don't seem to be successful because their challenge is that they're really still letting the ego guide what they're doing and not doing. And so for some of them, they're living from an impetus of trying to get money and pay their bills versus being of service. Other people are, their ego is telling them that money is bad and that you can't be wealthy and be a spiritual person and these kinds of ego thoughts. And so they're giving to get some kind of validation from people. So sometimes giving money, rather giving to get money or giving to get validation. A lot of spiritual students, and this used to be me, this is why I talk about it, I know so much about it, is I used to be of service so that people would validate me and say I was special. And there's so many ways that we try to get that special recognition. I'm special because I'm so sick. I'm special because I'm so hopeless. I'm special because I give so much. I'm special because I'm so beautiful. I'm special, 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 you know, all that specialness. And the world does not need any more teachers who are teaching spirituality from the ego. We've got enough of that, got that covered. So people who truly desire to be spiritually successful and to really be beneficial in this world, they have to take the ego out of what they're doing and put the spirit in charge. And for many of us, that's really frightening. And it was frightening for me because I thought, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to pay my bills? I can barely pay my bills now. If I put spirit in charge, oh my God, then what's going to happen? Am I going to be living in poverty? Because is the life of poverty the life of purity? Oh my gosh. Well, we're not living in a time where poverty and purity are synonymous. They're not. Not at all. We're all pure. We're all already perfectly pure. But the ego thoughts are impure. So when we're thinking that we need to be more pure or that we are impure, all of that is ego. All of it is ego. And so if we're living from that space of thinking, I'm not good enough, I need to be more pure, I'm impure, then if we're a spiritual teacher, a counselor, a coach, that's what we're going to teach. Because that's what we believe. Whatever we believe is what we will teach. We're always teaching the efficacy of our choices, of our beliefs. And everybody's always watching. So for me, I endeavor to live as though if everyone were watching every choice I made, is this a choice I still wish to make? And there are times when I make higher choices and times when I make lower choices. But the number one thing I do not do is I do not judge my choices. If I'm tempted to judge my choice, I just will make another choice. Because I'm not going to live in self-judgment and recrimination. Because there's nothing I can teach anyone if that's where I live, in self-judgment and recrimination. So what I teach now is how to get out of that, because I used to live in that sticky, icky mess of self-recrimination and thinking I wasn't good enough, something's wrong with me, I'm bad. I used to literally believe that I was inherently evil. I believed that. I really believed it. And so I teach now how to put all those thoughts aside. And what I learned through my experience was, well, quite frankly, my experience was like a boot camp. And I've never done one of those, well, a little bit. I've dallied a little bit in physical exercise, boot camp kind of things. And, one of the things about those, and I certainly living in LA, I had a lot of friends who did them, ran them, participated in them. And one of the great things about a boot camp is you make the decision, which is so important to make that decision. You make the decision that you're going to do this. And you have a reason, you have a goal in mind. So you have a goal with a physical boot camp, you have a goal to get in shape. And you make the decision, I am going to get in shape by means of this boot camp. So I'm going to do the things that this boot camp requires. So you put your faith in your ability to follow through and do what's in the boot camp. Now, what I saw in my life was that I was having a boot camp experience. And it was working for me. It really worked for me because I just got into these rhythms of this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing. And I found that I was having all this healing at the level of the mind. I was having all this mental clearing, emotional clearing, and it was tremendous. I was so amazed and impressed at how quickly I could transform my life and my mind. And one of the things I realized was, let's say you have 10,000 negative thoughts a day, which is definitely where I started from, and you actively have a plan to eliminate 10 of them a day, then in a year you will have eliminated one third of that 10,000. That's right. And so I realized it was a 3-year plan to really clear my mind. I'm still clearing my mind, and still I really reached what I call a tipping point where now, on the other side of that tipping point, you get to 51%, you're at the tipping point, right? If you have a lever, you just tip it 51%, it's going to move to the other side. So that's the thing is, if you can get to that tipping point of 51%, clearing your mind of 51% of the trash, I call it taking out the trash. And there are definite practices that you can do that. And they're all in A Course in Miracles. That's what the workbook is. It is a program to take out the trash and liberate your mind and give it back to spirit. So I got so inspired by my own success, and I got encouraged by my teacher to create my own boot camp, a spiritual boot camp, and I call it Finding Freedom. And that's one of the things I'd like to tell you about now, because what I have seen for folks who have been in class with me is they may have started from a place of feeling like they had this aspiration to be a spiritual counselor or coach or a teacher or a minister, a practitioner, some spiritual profession or some helpful profession, but they didn't know how to become successful. And they really felt that they couldn't quite do it. But what I have learned and what I teach and what I hope you will take away from this class today is that the light of God can never fail. The love of God can never fail. And that's what we are. We are love, we are light, and we cannot fail. But if we place our faith in the ego, we have already failed. So, but we can turn it around. We can turn it around by putting our faith in love, in spirit, in harmony, in wholeness, in peace and joy. And we have to be truly interested in it in order to have that experience of it. So that's the truth of our life and being. All right, I am going to take a sip here. So I'm going to tell you about my Finding Freedom Boot Camp in case you're interested in taking another step with me. My Finding Freedom Boot Camp has many different components to it. It's a class, it's a paid class. And the reason why it's a paid class and not a free class, like the Living A Course in Miracles series, is because when I first started out, people would say to me, oh, Jennifer, if I could take your Finding Freedom class, I just know I could turn everything around. And would you give it to me for free? And so I would say, sure, of course, I'd be happy to. And what I saw time and again is that the people who got it for free, the ones I gave it to for free, or, you know, I would give it to somebody and say, you know, this could help you. Would you like it? And they say, oh, yes, thank you very much. I'd love to do that. The ones I gave it to for free were most likely not to do it and to fail. And I realized that I was creating negative karma for them and for myself because they were failing and feeling more hopeless. And I realized that the people who paid for it had a much higher level of commitment, a much higher level of that decision to do the boot camp. And so they had more success. And then they went on to glory and greater glory. And so I realized that, okay, that's how I am too, that when people give us things for free, we don't value them as much as when we have some skin in the game. And so that's why some of my classes where we do the practices and we have the community and there's the workbooks and there's all these different components, it's not free. Because people who pay for it have a much higher level of success. Now, in order to not turn anyone away, we will accept just about any payment plan, unless it's too expensive to put it forth. But generally, I don't think we've ever turned down any payment plan. So we have a whole bunch of payment plans, and if you don't like one of those, you can do. You can make up your own. You can propose something, because we don't wish to turn anyone away, and we would like to keep people in that place of making that decision, keeping that commitment, and not giving up, doing the actual work of the boot camp. So my Finding Freedom Boot Camp class, it contains a whole bunch of things. There's a workbook. It's a 400-page workbook, and it's got many different things in it to inspire you and motivate you and support you in doing the actual work of clearing away the clutter in your heart and in your mind and moving into that place of feeling so liberated and that you're no longer putting your faith in the ego, you're putting your faith in spirit. Because that's the turn that we make in order to be spiritually successful. Because look, you know, let's face it. I know for myself, I had this great realization that the teaching of Jesus, where he said, if I be lifted up, I draw all unto me. That is the truth. And so when I began to really do these practices, I made that decision, I made the commitment, I was doing the work, then more and more people began to be drawn to me because I was lifting myself up. And so I went from thinking, how am I ever going to be a successful spiritual teacher? How am I ever going to learn about marketing? How am I ever going to get all these things done? The websites, the this, the that, it's so much. How am I ever going to figure it out? I went from that place of feeling overwhelmed with all the things that had nothing to do with spiritual teaching, but seemed so necessary to my spiritual career, and feeling completely like, oh, this is just too much, it's so overwhelming, to being supported and led and guided. Because I was drawing more people to me, and I began to make more money, and so I began to be able to hire staff and people and consultants to do the things that I didn't know how to do. If I be lifted up, I draw all unto me. So I kept putting more and more of my focus on my own clearing, my own healing. And that gave me more and more to share with more and more clarity. And because of doing that inner work, I felt more and more that I was worthy. Because all the reasons that I thought I was unworthy were being eliminated at the root cause. So I don't have any sense of unworthiness like that anymore. And it used to plague me. I really used to feel secretly, I am not good enough. I'm not good enough. But I don't feel that way anymore. And I'm so grateful to be able to help other people eliminate that from their thinking as well. And it's the practices that actually cause that to happen. It's doing the forgiveness work. So A Course in Miracles is all about forgiveness and doing the forgiveness work. Well, I have met so many Course in Miracles students who don't practice forgiveness. They say, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive, but it's intellectual. It's not in the heart. And they don't even really know how to take it into their heart. It's not that they're unwilling, it's just they don't really know how. And so a lot of my Finding Freedom Boot Camp is that active practice of forgiveness, forgiving yourself, forgiving others, eliminating the resentments and the regrets, the guilt and the blame. And it is such a relief to be able to give up all those habits because they consume so much of our energy, energy that we could put into doing the things that help draw more people to use our services and to take our counseling and coaching and classes and healing sessions. It's true. It's really true. And so the other thing is that I learned in all of this is there are many different kinds of judgments and complaints, and I won't get into all of that now. It's in the Finding Freedom Boot Camp, but there are many, many practices that we do that unknowingly we are blocking the flow of prosperity. We are blocking our success. Many of them. But using the tools I give you in the Finding Freedom Boot Camp, you can address them. And you don't have to figure out how, you just follow the things I give you step by step. Another aspect of the Finding Freedom Boot Camp is I give you a close to 50 videos. So there's a whole bunch of videos that you go through and you do them lesson by lesson. And you can watch them over and over and over again. Most of them are videos of me sharing different points. You also get 8 classes with me. 8 classes. So the boot camp itself is designed so that you could do it very intensely, if you wished, in 7 weeks. But I give you 3 months to do it. So you can do it actually again and again. And I think that's really helpful. So, and right now I am going to be recording all new classes. So if you join me in this Finding Freedom class that starts on November 9th, you can join me in the classes live or get the replays and the downloads. So I'm doing all the classes all over again. I love to do them. So this is my joy to be able to do them again. I've done them many times over the years. I've been teaching this Finding Freedom Boot Camp since 2008. And so I've done it many, many, many times, and I love it. It's my joy. And so you can download all of those classes and you can listen to them again and again. I also give you some downloadable meditations that you can do again and again. And I give you a few other things, some gifts that I send you along with your workbook. I'm not going to say what they are right now, some surprises. And we have a Finding Freedom Facebook group, which is so loving and so supportive. It's really helpful in healing. And we're developing new tools all the time to share with you in the Finding Freedom Boot Camp. So the idea is that you could come in and do the Finding Freedom Boot Camp at your own pace. That's one of the things that I think is really important. Some people like to really do it as a boot camp. You can do it as you choose. You can go slower or faster as you choose. And you can also pick and choose which tools. I give you so many tools, and I encourage you to really take your time with them. So there's such a richness to this boot camp that you can really work it for months, and I give you months to do it. Now, I'm also going to mention something to you here that I think is really critical. You may have heard me talking about my year-long class, my Masterful Living class, which starts January 1st. And that class is something that many people take after finding freedom. Now, there's no requirement, there's no prerequisite for taking my year-long Masterful Living course. However, when you take Finding Freedom, you are in the rhythm so that when the new year comes and you enroll in Masterful Living, you're in that rhythm already. And I find that a lot of people who take Finding Freedom before taking Masterful Living in this fall period, they hit the ground running in the new year with Masterful Living. And Masterful Living is far more expansive than even Finding Freedom. And it's a year-long course, so it's like a year-long, but it's not a boot camp. It doesn't have the same level of intensity. Now, one of the other things that I think is really important to understand in considering whether or not you'd like to take this course, you'll see on the webpage, the Finding Freedom webpage, which I encourage you to go and take some time reading. I've written it very carefully to help you understand what this class is about and whether or not it's right for you at this time. And I think it's really important that you trust your intuition and that you'll know if you're ready to take these next steps and if you'd like to take them with me. Whether or not you feel like I can be a guide for you and that you'd like to go with me step by step and use the tools in the way that I show you how to do it. One of the important things for you is that you'll see on the Finding Freedom page is that if you like, you can give me your name, phone number, and you can get a call back, and one of my team will call you and talk with you about it. Not as a sales call. I'm not interested in trying to sell you because I trust you enough to know your intuition. I've learned a lot as a spiritual teacher. I've learned a lot as a spiritual professional and as a minister. And it does not help anyone to push them into anything. So I do not need to sell you anything. Your heart knows, you know, your spirit knows, you will be led and guided. And when you are, if it leads you and guides you to doing the work with me, then you're going to have a much better experience. So I'm not interested in motivating anybody with fear. So there's no, don't miss out. I don't wish to do that here and to scare you or anything like that. But I will say this, we can call you and talk with you and go over the different pieces if you have any hesitation. And you can talk with someone who's actually done the class. And that's the thing, so that you can really find out, is it right for you? Because I'm not interested in anyone failing. I'm interested in everyone succeeding. And so I'd like to give you your best chance on that. So again, it would not be a sales call. It would be a helpful call to talk things over with you and to see if it's right for you. And perhaps Finding Freedom is not right for you now, but you'd like to take Masterful Living January 1st. That's perfect. That's perfect. So you can talk with someone who has understanding of it and knows, who's been there and done that. I think that's a really helpful thing. And I'm interested in being truly helpful. So sometimes I forget some of the details here. Let me see. Here. Oh, I know. One of the things that I would like to tell you is, we start the class on November 9th with a bonus class and giving you the lay of the land. And then the next class, the next class of the first of the seven series is the next day on the 10th. And we have people participating in this class from all over the world. So if you can't be there live, you will get the recording of it, which you can download or listen to online, and you'll also get the transcript. And we transcribe them all because we have so many people for whom English is a second language. And a lot of people who English is their first language, they still like to have the transcript and to be able to read through it and to highlight and do all of that. And I surely do encourage that, because the more you listen to the classes and read and listen at the same time, you will get a lot more benefit out of it. So we do close registration for Finding Freedom. And the reason why we close registration is to, again, inspire you to make that decision. So it's not about scaring you into it, that you'll be left out. It's about inspiring you to make the decision. So that's why we charge for the class, and that's why we close the enrollment, is to inspire you to give this gift to yourself and to make that decision. We have a lot of support for you in the class. One of the things that I've been doing is training people to be spiritual counselors. So one of the things in the Power of Love ministry now, which is the ministry that supports all these Living A Course in Miracles classes, it's the ministry I founded, is we're training ministers and teachers, and we're focusing more and more on that and supporting people who would like to have a spiritual career. And so I'm training spiritual counselors, and because they're in training, they are required to do one-on-one counseling sessions with people, and so they can do those sessions with you on a love offering basis and support you through the Finding Freedom curriculum, because they have done it, they're doing it, and they've been in Masterful Living, and they're doing that. So they can support you through these practices. They know about the work. They are doing the work. And it's a wonderful thing. We have such a wonderful community of people who are supporting more and more people in having spiritual careers. Next year, I'm going to be offering classes for people who would like to teach as I teach, and classes for people who would like to do workshops and retreats like I do them. And I tell you, it is thrilling to me to be able to support people and training them to do this work that they deeply desire to do. And that may be you. I am truly interested in having more and more teachers in our ministry teaching classes and building this beautiful network, because there are so many beautiful spiritual teachers who are, like I was, overwhelmed with the idea of websites and creating all these different organizational pieces and customer service. And I know a lot about it. So that's why I'm so interested in supporting people and putting all those fears to the side and being able to live their passion and feel loved and supported all along the way, so that they can turn around and do the same for others. So anyone who is interested in being trained by me as a spiritual counselor, a minister, any of that, you will need to take this Finding Freedom Spiritual Boot Camp at some point. So if you're interested in going down that path, this might be the time for you to enroll in Finding Freedom. Remember, you have 3 months to do the class, and I have that deadline once again to inspire you to keep motivated, keep doing the work. If you don't finish all the lessons before the 3 months is up, it's not a big deal. You can extend for $22 a month, and you can extend for 1 month or 10 months or however long you like. You can just decide month by month that you'd like to extend in order to keep watching the videos and have access to everything on the website. Now, the other thing I'd like to tell you is, as a bonus gift with Finding Freedom, I give you my sacred circle spiritual counseling calls. Now, let me just take a moment and tell you about my sacred circle. I've been doing the sacred circle for years. For some people, it's one of the favorite things that I do. Anyone can join my sacred circle. It's $33 a month. And with that sacred circle program, you get a call with me 4 times a month, 4 weeks a month, usually on a Wednesday. We have a group call, and I take any question and do spiritual counseling, any question at all. And we have a tendency to have very deep, deep questions. People who are really working with intense life issues. And some people only listen and get the downloads. Some people ask a question almost every week. We have all kinds of people participating in my sacred circle from all over the world. And again, it's $33 a month on its own. But if you're in my Finding Freedom class, it's a bonus gift. It's a bonus gift. There's no extra charge to participate in my sacred circle every week that it's offered for the entire 3 months that you're in Finding Freedom. And if you decide to continue with Finding Freedom and keep your access for the $22 a month, you will get my sacred circle as well, which is $33 a month. You'll get it for free if you keep your subscription to Finding Freedom open. So that's another bonus for you, is you'll be able to have access to the sacred circle as long as you want for that savings of $22 a month after your free period is up. So that's another great gift. I think the main thing about Finding Freedom is a lot of people would like to deepen their spiritual practice. They recognize that spiritual practice is the key to healing. I certainly discovered that for myself, that an authentic, deep, clearing, healing spiritual practice is the thing that brought me to that tipping point and is taking me to my awakening, my ascension, my enlightenment. That is the key. It's that constant spiritual practice. And spiritual practice is not just 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes at night. No, spiritual practice is how we live our life. It is walking the talk and living the love. And so what I give you in Finding Freedom are spiritual practices that you can do all throughout your day. And they're really very much in alignment with living A Course in Miracles, because I love A Course in Miracles, and I know that workbook is so helpful, but for many people, they struggle with actually doing it. They read it, but they don't actually do it. And I get that. I understand that. Been there, done that. So this is what Finding Freedom is about. It's about having a living spiritual practice of doing the work moment by moment, day by day, and feeling lifted up and empowered. And you know, one of the things about doing this work, especially in doing it in a boot camp with other people right alongside you, is you're going to have days where you feel lifted up and days when you feel like a failure. I mean, that's just part of the process. It's not like, oh, all of a sudden everything's going to be a miracle. It's all love and light. It's not like that. We're getting in there. We're doing deep healing and clearing work. And there are going to be times when you're confronted with things that have been operating in your mind that you weren't quite aware of. That is part of this boot camp process, is you're going to look at some gnarly bits about the way you have lived your life. And some people, when they start looking at it, they feel like, oh my God, I've wasted my life. I've just wasted and wasted and wasted my life. And to that I say, no way, Jose. In our spiritual work of doing this lifting and shifting work, we take everything and we spin the gold. We take the lead and we turn it into gold. It is a divine alchemy. It's so powerful. It's so powerful when people transform their lives. And they can do it. And I've seen so many people do it through these practices, not just me. I am not special. I am not special. And if you're listening to me and you feel moved by me, remember, like attracts like. So you might feel helpless and hopeless at times. I used to feel helpless and hopeless. I felt suicidal, but I do not feel that way anymore. And I have not felt that way in many years. All of that can be eliminated. And spiritual practice is the thing that eliminates it. So this is the number one benefit that people tell me all the time, is that through getting in there and doing the boot camp, they now have a spiritual practice that works for them. And because they love their spiritual practice, they value it, they stick to it. They see the benefit of it. And so they keep rising and rising and rising and rising. Oh, I could go on and on about how beneficial this is. And what I would like you to do is just feel it for yourself. Just feel it for yourself. You'll know. Trust that. Your intuition will tell you if this is right for you right now. Trust that. I want to say one more thing here, and then I'm going to close us out. We're born to be successful. We are the love and we are the light, and we cannot fail when we allow ourselves to be the light and be the love. And every spiritual student who would like to have a spiritual career, would like to be a loving presence in their family, would like to be a beneficial presence in their community, they yearn, like I used to yearn, to live the love and to really walk the talk. And anything less than that is painful. And I used to live in that pain of not giving myself my best chance to live the love and walk the talk. I played small for a very long time. And playing small was the most painful thing. It was so painful. It was more painful than romantic fallouts. It was more painful than anything else, was the playing small and knowing that I was playing small and knowing that I was the one who was the cause of my playing small, that I didn't have faith in God enough as me. And so in every moment, we're putting our faith in something. We can put our faith in the ego, or we can put our faith in spirit. And a lot of us are putting our faith in love one moment and putting our faith in the ego in the next moment. And we go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then we're just always out of balance, feeling lost and confused, because we don't have a sense of forward progressive movement. But we can have through a strong spiritual practice. And many spiritual students have studied so many practices that they never really truly applied with any real success. And so they feel like they are the failure. But it's not true. It's not true. A Course in Miracles tells us forgiveness is the practice. And what I'm offering you in Finding Freedom is a practical application of these teachings in a boot camp format with like-minded souls from all over the world who have a deep desire to walk the talk and live the love and really to be the answer. So I'll be honest with you, I get messages all kinds of ways, phone, email, text messages, Facebook messages, all the time, almost every single day. And people tell me consistently, Jennifer, you changed my life. You changed my life, you changed my life, you changed my life. And I say to every single one of them, I can only change my life. You changed your life by applying what I'm sharing with you. You did it. I may have inspired you through my practice. What I did inspired you to do what you need to do. And yet, I cannot do it for you. You must do it. And so that's why I say to you, you are the one that has to decide if you're going to do it. And with my Finding Freedom Bootcamp, you don't have to decide what to do. You just decide, I am doing this. I am putting love first in my life. I am willing to clear out and take out the trash and do the healing at the level of the mind. and then I will show you how. And I'll be there for you live in class. I'll be there for you in the recordings. I'll be there for you in the sacred circle. And you can ask me any question you like along the way, and I will give you specifics for your situations and circumstances. That's my promise to you. That's my offering to you. So trust your heart. You know if this is right for you. And for those of you who have been participating in this entire Living A Course in Miracles series, God bless you. God bless you. May you shine the light and know that you are the answered prayer. You are the answered prayer in your own life, and you are my answered prayer. You surely are, because I did not know how I could ever become successful, and you have showed me how. You have taught me. Through joining with me, I learn every single day. Yes. All right. I'm going to invite you to place your hand on your heart with me right now. And we take this breath of love and gratitude. So grateful and so thankful to once again partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self for the purpose of remembering the truth that sets us free. We are grateful and thankful to surrender any and all sense of lack and limitation. We are grateful and thankful to open ourselves to an unprecedented, unlimited flow of love. We are grateful and thankful to welcome the answered prayer in our mind. Yes, we are grateful and thankful to dedicate ourselves to being an inspiring presence, to being a beneficial presence, a heart-opening presence. So grateful and so thankful to walk the talk and live the love. So grateful to let go of any idea of unworthiness, of not enoughness. So grateful and so thankful to let go of any thought that we don't have what it takes. So grateful, so thankful to say yes to spirit. To surrender all belief and lack, attack, limitation, and separation, we give thanks. So grateful to let the healing be. We let it be, and so it is. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Yes. Yes. God bless you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Mwah! This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.